There we go. Welcome to another edition of Outside the Pizza Box. You are tuned in to Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And I just told Jason that we're on Alexa now. You didn't know that?
Yeah, and you already clearly downloaded the Devil Radio app because you had it playing on your phone. But I was like, hey, the delay is going to mess us up, man. The delay is going to mess us up. So
I've done this before where I just kind of like turn it on. But we can get by without it. I turned it off. By the way, I just turned 60, so this is like the 60 edition of. I realize now that I have far less time left than I've already lived, but just a huge appetite, probably doubled, maybe 2.5 times for the social justice drive. Man, I'm just excited about it.
We need you.
Well, no, I was just happy to hit 60. I mean, you know, it's hard to explain, I guess, where you just feel like you're at a different level now. That I was already at the level beyond Republicans, right? Now I'm at a level beyond my own selfishness, hopefully. A little bit more each day. Another week of watching just Republican insanity. I mean, I don't know where to start, really. I wanted to talk about the crux of the problem, which, again, is racism and white supremacy, and who better to talk about that than I?
A couple of white guys, yeah.
No, man,
But it's true. We have to.
Yes. And I do have a background in it. I have a little different experience than we've kind of joked about. I'm not the average white guy, just like the average white band. And by the way, if you want to call in, it's 844-967-2789. Feel free to participate. Encourage it. But yeah, I can talk about it. And I feel no shame in expressing myself to the obvious. It's been a long ride for me. When you come into this world, you don't come into the world thinking about white supremacy or racism. These are things that are taught by, you know, a system that's intended to keep people down. I mean, I'll tell you right up front what I think that a lot of this, you know, this racism and white supremacy is about is actually inferiority and envy. I mean, you know, over time, a lot of it has to do with, you know, geographics and genetics and things like that. You know, over time, if you're not out there, you know, busting your hump physically for work, you know, over time, your race is going to, like, you know, the spine's going to compact a little bit. So are your buns and your belly. And then you're going to end up looking like a lot of these Republican legislators that I go after. And I know it's not about the physical part of it. It's about knowing that they know better and they're going along with it. Like when we watched Mark Bourne this week try to explain, you know, a great way to honor Black history is to just go up onto the third floor and look at the little display we have out there after we already didn't put up the display in the middle of the rotunda to honor Black History Month. But that's happened before, too. They had something else up there one year under Walker during that time. I think it was during the protests. I can't, you know, just so much of it. I mean, I'm just so sick of watching how horrible white supremacy really is and what it's really based on. It's based on excluding everybody else from having access or opportunity. Because I was joking around with Jason. I'm not, you know, I'd rather be funny around people that, you know, are physically more, you know, dominant than me. You know, and it's not always about race, you know, but I'm one of those guys that, you know, 5'5", 135 pounds at my peak. I wasn't intimidated by competing against people that were bigger and stronger or faster. I looked forward to it, but I have to admit that I always did better. You know, I was always like the fastest or, maybe the strongest white guy when I was running. Not always, but when we ran against, schools with predominantly Black athletes, we pretty much got smoked, you know, track, basketball. It didn't matter. I don't have a problem with that. I guess other people do. But the only way to stop this is to admit it and embrace it and talk about the things that you are good at. We know that white people are really bad at legislating. And we do have a caller. So who's first today? Is it...
First, we got Wisco Paul up here first. So we'll bring him on.
Wisco Paul's usually first. He's like chomping at the bit. He's like, you ready for the second, you know, great race, horse race today? I'm not into it.
I'm not into it either. Pizza box.
It's cruelty.
First of all, thanks for taking my... Well, thank you. Well, thanks for taking my call, Pizza. As always, thanks for you, for what you did in 2011. At least you don't have to try to rewrite history like the GOP has to do on 2006. All right, on January 6th. So that's pretty cool. I was just curious, are you going to be able to make the fair maps on Monday at noon at the Capitol? I'm hoping to be there, but I think we can go a long way to correct a lot in the state if we do get fair maps. And thanks for taking my call, Pizza Box, and fastest hour on the radio. That's why I call in early.
I know. Thanks. We've got quite the lineup, and thanks for participating again. And I will probably be there. I'm mapping my schedule out already. The 27th of May, I'd like to see a lot of us show up to be there to support Voces de la Frontera, who's trying to fight to get driver's licenses for migrant workers and their families. And what better? See, the Republicans don't want that because next phase would be to, you know, get citizenship when you've shown that you have an ID and you've been working. And because isn't that what they always say? You know, get with the program, you know, get an ID, get a job, prove yourself, and then 20 years later, after they have a family, it's time for them to go because they, you know, you guys didn't really create access for that to happen. It's sad to think that Reagan created more access to this country for people crossing the border than pretty much everybody else. And I think that was by accident. Or maybe it was the corporates, you know, expecting to need more workers. And sure, what better way to bring them in when we don't have to even register them as humans? It's pretty ugly. Next up, we've got Mark in the sack. Let me get my little arrow on here for you, Mark. Welcome,
yeah,
Mark.
Well, yeah, thank you. First off, you know, tip of the hat to Wisco Paul. He always has something good to say.
Yep.
And I couldn't help but think, you're talking about the racists here in Wisconsin. And let's remember that Wisconsin was a refuge for runaway slaves during that time.
Did you see the Milton House when you were younger?
No, but I did hear John Nichols give a speech about Hans Christian Hague, who was an immigrant to this country and who actually helped, you know, that he was apparently director of prisons for a time. And the governor actually directed him to have his staff escort slaves to so they could escape to Canada, in defiance of the Fugitive Slave Act. I mean, it was just ironic that they turned on his statue during last summer, I guess it was, and beheaded the statue of a man who actually fought for independence and liberty of enslaved people. People just probably didn't know. They just saw another statue, a Civil War statue, and maybe they assumed the wrong thing.
Yeah, they had no clue at all. I mean, these are people that are younger, more frustrated, probably have less than any of us have ever started.
And that's a failure for our education system of not teaching those kids about this, that Wisconsin's role in this, and for these Wisconsin Republicans now who seem to just forget that and forget the fact that, you know, Wisconsin fought for the Union. And the whole purpose of the Confederacy was to, you know, continue the continuation of slavery. I mean, that pure and simple. I mean, their Vice President Alexander Stevens gave a famous speech where he said, that black people are not equal at all to, you know, and never will be equal at all to white people. And it's just something that these guys need to be figuratively knocked upside the head and presented with this information and questioned when they say this stuff and said, what the hell did you think? Why the hell do you think Wisconsin is a southern state and was part of the Confederacy and you're doing this crap now? Did Scott Walker's ancestors fight for the Confederacy and that was his deal, that he was, you know, that when he was born, when he was hatched, that his, you know, he took on the role of revenge against Wisconsin because of Wisconsin's role in bringing down the Confederacy. So he helped bring down Wisconsin. I mean, that he wasn't hatched in the state. He was hatched in Colorado, and who knows where his family went was before they were in Colorado. Sorry for the diatribe there. But
I'm not a big Scott Walker fan, if you didn't know that already. And the only time he ever acknowledged me was when he walked into the Capitol with his entourage, his security squad, and I was standing there joking with the cops as on his way in, and he looked at me and said, "Hi, Mike." And like, "Oh, you know my name. That's supposed to what intimidate me." Or so there's a guy there. My book. He used my story, that unintimidated. I was a track star. I did a lot of things. I didn't run away, like this guy
has. He was the tunnel boy. He partied. His driver took him to the Justice Building, and he squirmed through the tunnel there like a diseased spermatozoa, and came in and infected the Capitol with, you know, that every day that he came in. I mean, that he was just. And the one thing that Doyle probably did, not Doyle, that Evers did wrong is he didn't take a careful inventory of the governor's mansion there to make sure that Scott Walker didn't walk off with the silverware. That because if he would have taken one piece that he wasn't entitled to take out of there, I would have had his ass in prison for theft of the state, against the state.
The damage these guys have done, and thanks again for calling and listening, Mark, is... it's immeasurable. It just keeps piling on because they haven't stopped, and they're not going to stop. So we need to stop them, Jason. You and I, we got a platform for this. So do other people, just in their daily lives. When you're standing in line and you hear somebody saying something wrong, don't be afraid to tell them the truth. You don't have to get in a fight or anything. Leave that to some of the other guys. I'm not, like I said, I'm that last segment of my life where throwing punches doesn't seem to be a way to resolve anything. And I'm really disappointed with what I'm seeing in the Middle East, that we can't resolve some things and stand up and defend people that are being slaughtered because two factions decide they're right and the other one's wrong.